open to being surprised. Silence our agendas, banish our assumptions, cast out our usual casual detachment, confound our expectation, clear the cobwebs from our ears, penetrate the corners of our heart with this word. We know that you can, we pray that you will, and we wait with great anticipation. Amen.
Amen.
Scripture from today is from Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think I've mentioned to many of you before that I didn't grow up in the church. My mom and dad didn't take me or my brother to church growing up. And so we missed out on all the great songs that kids get to learn. I'm sure many of our kids know now, and I didn't learn them until I started working here, or until I started working with children myself. You know, the ones like, "Jesus loves the little children." Remember that one? That's a good one, yeah. And, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible." This is why I don't sing in the choir. But you know the one about "Jesus loves me, this I know." And there even is also that song, and I'm just going to butcher this because I don't even know the tune, but I heard Heidi playing it. It's the "Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he." There it is. "Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man." That's it. Amen. Yes, so we know that song. You know that song, right? But the truth is, we don't know much about this Zacchaeus guy at all. I mean, the song does tell us that he was a short guy. And if my brother is anything like a man of shorter stature, it's not easy being a short man, I guess. I mean, my brother would complain, that was his biggest complaint, that his friends would make jokes all the time, some that can't be repeated up here, but they would say things like, "Oh, Rob, you'll never get hired as a chef." Why? Because the stakes are too high. You know, they would say, "Rob, can I borrow $5? Are you a little short today?" That kind of thing. And I wonder if Zacchaeus heard his share of jokes. I would think so. I mean, I can imagine people saying to Zacchaeus, "You should be a rabbi, at least your sermons would be short." But he probably heard worse than that, because like Felicia told us, like our scripture tells us, he was a tax collector. That's one of the things we do know about Zacchaeus. And not just a regular tax collector, but a chief tax collector. And so he probably lived a pretty lonely, lonely life. A rich one in money. If you remember, if you were here last week, you heard Pastor Tim talk about tax collectors back in the day, that they weren't even the most honest of people. Zacchaeus, like the tax collectors of his day, they worked for the Roman government. The Romans imposed the taxes on the Jews. The Jews hired other Jews to collect those taxes. And so Zacchaeus was most likely also seen as a traitor to his very own people, part of the very hated organization that oppressed Jews like himself. And I bet that didn't make Zacchaeus feel very well. I mean, he probably, maybe he told himself, you know, somebody has to do it. I might as well do it. I can't do anything else. I can do this. So what if they hate me? It doesn't matter. I'm a sinner. I know that. But then he may have heard these rumors. He did hear these rumors about this man, another Jew, this man they call Jesus. And it's rumored that while everybody around hates me, the tax collector, this Jesus guy, he'll talk to people like me. Zacchaeus must have thought, who is this man who will openly speak to people that everybody hates me. Who is this man who accepts people like me? I have to see this guy. And so when Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was passing through his town, this was his chance. And of course, things aren't easy for a short guy in a crowd. And I bet that nobody in that crowd was going to lift Zacchaeus up on his shoulders. The hated tax collector, the traitor to his people. I wonder if people accidentally pushed and jostled him, making it even clearer to Zacchaeus, you are not wanted here, you are not worthy. Even this guy, Jesus, who seems to preach these wonderful things about acceptance, just get out of here. So nobody's going to make a way for Zacchaeus to get to the front to actually see Jesus. They probably whispered things that he could hear. Money means more to Zacchaeus than his own people. Money means more to Zacchaeus than his own faith. Money means more to Zacchaeus than God. And I wonder if some part of Zacchaeus believed that. But something else made Zacchaeus determined, though. He was determined. He had to see this man. He had to see this Jesus. And so Scripture tells us that he ran ahead of the crowd and he climbed a sycamore tree, just like the song says. I think it had to take a lot of courage for him to do that. I mean, in a crowd of people who already hated him, to put himself in such a vulnerable spot, standing out above the crowd, risking himself, exposing himself, just to see this man, Jesus. Because the thing is, if he'd heard a lot about Jesus, he must have heard that Jesus seems to have a special heart for the poor. And indeed, in Luke, of all the gospel writers, Luke demonstrates God's preferential treatment for the poor. So I wonder if Zacchaeus thought, you know, would this Jesus who gives a sermon like he did on the plain, the one about woe to the rich, would he really welcome a rich man like me? Well, there's only one way to find out, Zacchaeus thought. And he did. Because we know what happened. Zacchaeus ran ahead. He got up in that tree. And he didn't have to call out to Jesus, because Jesus already knew him. Jesus came down the road. Jesus looked up. He spoke to Zacchaeus. He knew his name. He called out to him in front of the crowd, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Down Zacchaeus went. Even as the crowd grumbled, Jesus is doing it again. Now he's going to the home of that crepe Zacchaeus. Look at that. But Zacchaeus didn't let the grumbling stop him. Instead, he cried out, "Look, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." It's true, Zacchaeus thought. This Jesus, he's really speaking to me. He's really coming to my house. Everybody else says I am a sinner. Everybody else spits on me. I would spit on myself if I could. I don't like to look at myself in the mirror every day. I have been a traitor to my people. I'm going to change. Zacchaeus ran ahead of the crowd. He made himself vulnerable, and he put himself up in a tree on display, and he looked only to Jesus, not to the crowd around him. He listened for and welcomed the voice of Jesus, not the voice of the crowd, not their mocking and critical words. He saw Jesus, but first Jesus saw him. Jesus called him by name, and that day Zacchaeus was a changed man. He saw his past through the eyes of Jesus, and he saw his present through the eyes of Jesus. Zacchaeus saw who he really was and who he should be. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." I think this is an amazing story. There are so many things that it says to us today. It reminds us that if we stay in a crowd, we often can't see very well. We can too easily allow the crowd to define us and to define the world around us. We allow the crowd to block our view of higher things of Jesus. You remember your parents telling you that you sort of become like the people with whom you run? That happens. Crowds, the people we are with, can influence how we see others and ourselves. There's a whole branch of social psychology that's dedicated to this crowd psychology. And according to social psychologists, the individual loses his or herself a sense of identity, sense of responsibility, and fails to see him or herself clearly. And the crowd was telling Zacchaeus on that day and had been all of his career, "You're a greedy, faithless sinner. And you can't change that because that's who you are, Zacchaeus." And Zacchaeus was probably knowing that's what he was going to be till he retired. But that day when Zacchaeus rose above, when Zacchaeus looked only to Jesus, Jesus helped him define himself in another way. This event also tells us that every time we draw a line or we say to others, "These people are not God's people," Jesus is standing on the other side of that line and saying, "No, line's not there. Move it over. Come on." Because Jesus does love the poor. The poor are children of God. But this story reminds us that the rich are as well. Listen to the words of Jesus speaking about Zacchaeus, the rich chief tax collector. "Today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." He too is a son of Abraham. I wonder if the crowd, if Zacchaeus himself thought that only the good Jews were children of Abraham. Do we think, after reading "Blessed are the poor," that only the poor are the children of Abraham? Can somebody on the political left, like me, can I bring myself to think that our president is also a child of Abraham? Can somebody on the political right bring herself to understand that Nancy Pelosi is also a child of Abraham? Man, all the lines we draw, all the lines we draw when we stay in the crowd, all the grumbling that we do about others, all the responsibility that I don't take, all the ways that I allow the crowd to define myself. The thing is, when we rise above and put our eyes on Jesus and allow ourselves to be seen through the eyes of Jesus, only then can we get to the real heart, to the reality of who God is. God's love seeks and saves all of us. Philip Yancey tells the story of a British conference on comparative religions. It occurred in the middle of the last century, and experts from around the world came together to debate what made Christianity unique. And they went through a pretty big list. Incarnation? No. Some other religions, have a God who appeared in human form. What about resurrection? No, some other faiths have that as well. And the debate was going on for hours when C.S. Lewis walked in the room and said, "What's the rumpus about?" And they told him that they were trying to identify Christianity's unique contribution in the world's religions. And Lewis said, "Oh, that's easy. It's grace." A textbook definition of grace is God's unmerited love and favor towards us. Brennan Manning, the author and priest, puts it this way: God is not moody or capricious. God knows no seasons of change. God has a single, relentless stance toward us. God loves us. God is the only God that we have ever heard of who loves sinners. This concept of grace, of God's love, is central to the gospel message. In Hebrews 12, the writer says to his readers, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God." No one. Now here's one more thing, and this may shock you. It shocked me. The truth is, like I said, we really don't know a lot about this man, Zacchaeus. We know he's a rich man and he's a rich tax collector, but that song, that might be wrong. Zacchaeus may not have been short at all. That wee little man thing, what the Greek, many Greek scholars say that it's just as likely that what the Greek is saying there is that Jesus was short, not Zacchaeus. And the reason Zacchaeus couldn't see him was because Jesus was short. And we don't like to think of that, and it wouldn't make a good story because we want our heroes to be tall and all that kind of thing. But truth, we don't know if Zacchaeus was short. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Because this passage does indeed have much to say to us. And it says more about Jesus, about God, than this man in the tree. No matter who we are, no matter where we are, God loves us. You know, one of the most sobering and holiest honors that I have ever had is to sit at the bedside of someone who is ill or dying. It's a holy moment. It takes your breath away. But something that grieves me deeply, however I wonder if I'll do it myself, is when someone, when they are sick, or when they know they are dying, will share regrets and apologies that they actually have no reason to possess. When one of God's children says to me, "I should have been a better mother. I should have done this. I shouldn't have done that." When another person's body is just wearing out or they're in terrible pain and they say, "I should be stronger, I'm so weak, I shouldn't cry, I'm being a pain, I should not be scared." And these moments, they rip at me so deeply. Because I know that we all have regrets and there are things for which we are and should be sorry. But when a beloved child of God doubts their inclusion in the kingdom, when a beloved child of God harbors sadness because he or she wishes she just would have been a little better, or she just would have been a little more or less selfish, when a beloved child of God thinks that he or she could somehow make him or herself more worthy before God, it makes me wonder, how can we make sure that nobody feels that way? How can we today do what the writer of Hebrews said and see to it that no one misses the grace of God? No one. Because we all, and even on the days when you don't feel like it, you are all beloved children of God. And we're called to know that for ourselves. And we're called to extend that grace, that love of God, to everybody. Please pray with me. Sweet Jesus, I thank you. We all thank you for your grace.
for your love. It is a love that is so powerful. It is a love that cannot be described, even by those of us who have so many words. Lord Jesus, change our hearts. Change our wills so that it might be so knit with yours that we would do it without even thinking. In Christ's name, amen.
As we sing our closing hymn today,